of one's surroundings, and then sentient, able to perceive and feel. So we're having our own experience all the way through. And it's really, really important to remember that and also to put it in the center of how we support mums and babies and how we think about babies coming in. So I want to talk a little bit about the continuum of life, as I call it, because one of the things that I notice a lot when a baby gets born is that people tend to think they've just arrived somehow, or that it's just beginning there in a real way somehow. And so for those of you that are maybe working with birth, thinking about birth, I wanted to share this continuum with you because I'd like to invite you to think about a person, even an adult or a child or a newborn, when you meet them, they have already had a lot of experience. So if we look at the preconception period, that where we're soul consciousness, we're having a lot of experience there. Many people have shared with me that they had a sense that they came from somewhere else. I just call that place source. It's not necessarily the same place for everyone. It could be different. And then they leave that place. Often they make a choice. Most of the time there's a sense of choice about that. Sometimes there isn't. And then they journey, take that journey towards a family and towards embodiment. So I tend to think of people as primarily a soul embodying. And then when we come into more of the physical, we can come more into the egg sperm and the journey to the womb, conception. There's a kind of a more tangible level of embodiment happening there because we're inside our mum's body and we're also beginning to grow our own body. And then as we move on down through into the womb, we have implantation, which is when we attach to the womb lining, and that's really our first home place. And then we have 10 months, almost 10 months in the womb, and then birth. So if you meet a newborn here at the bottom, you're actually, they've had this, all of this experience before they got here. And they're holding that whole journey in their soul body, as I call it. Once someone comes into the body, I refer to it as the soul body. So it's where the soul and the body come together. And even if you meet a prenate in the womb, if you're working with little ones in the womb, you can also look at this and say, well, look at all, this has all happened before now when I'm meeting them. So there's kind of a sense of holding that bigger picture wherever you meet somebody that you know. And we've all gone through this journey to get here as well. So we all have that in common. And I think it really helps. I know when I meet newborns, for example, that I'm really holding a bigger space for them, knowing that they've been going through a lot and they've been through a long journey in a sense. So I'm going to talk a little bit about characteristics of early consciousness rather than what it is so much. And these characteristics are ones that I mostly would say I've learned from being in relationship with people in my work, in trainings and so on, and just learning from what shows up and what people experience and what they needed and didn't get perhaps quite often. So early consciousness is very relational, very ready to be relational. In fact, the preconception period is surprisingly relational, but we're not going to go into that today. They're eager to communicate and connect with us, and they need support and love and welcome and invitation, and also sometimes healing and repair if something's happened during their coming in time. And if we're in contact with them during that time, we have an opportunity to heal and repair things that have happened early on so that those challenges don't have to sit in their system and affect the next building block and the next building block. They can also experience isolation and stress, shock and trauma. It might be hard to imagine that we could experience those things when we don't have a body yet, but we really do. And anything that happens to us in the preconception period actually will land in our physical body when we come in. So that's one of the reasons why I feel it's really important for us to be parenting preconception, because we can have a really enormous positive influence on things there. And also another characteristic of early consciousness is that we often have a purpose or an intention in coming. That's very common. And it's interesting how a lot of people can be out of touch with that, but it's not difficult to reconnect with it. So those are some of the common things. And then we're ready to connect and attach, really ready for that. And because of all these things, we do benefit from much earlier parenting, because it's possible for us to feel isolated all the way through, in a sense. We want to be welcomed and held in consistent, authentic connection. It's not the connection. It isn't really about making everything perfect or making sure nothing bad happens. It's really about just showing up and presencing what's happening. And in that way, as parents, we can actually sometimes prevent and often mitigate the effects of challenge and trauma in that period by being there. And also by letting them know what's going on and anticipating some of their needs in that. The consciousness also seeks balance and healing and wants to be heard and supported, is sentient and having its own experience, and again, often has a purpose. And I feel like often I notice that there's the purpose is a big motivator for us coming. That's really important. I love this little guy here. How can we listen to and support consciousness? Well, first of all, throw out all of our old ideas about babies. Babies are really amazing and very magical. And they're always ready to tell us what's going on and get help. So make an intention to open and listen. And one of the main things about listening to babies, wherever they're in the womb or born or wherever they are, is that we have to slow down, because we really have to get on baby time to listen to babies. And that's actually something that really needs to happen in birthing as well. I love that old idea of midwives who knit, the home birth midwife who brings her knitting. And I often think that that's what birthing professionals need to learn to do now, is to knit. It just signifies that sense of settling in, getting on baby time, slowing down, waiting, holding space, being there when needed, that kind of thing. So another, I think, quite necessary thing for listening to consciousness is trusting and nurturing your intuition. That's your own and your clients and patients if you're working with people. Because when we're listening to babies, or we're listening to prenates or preconceived babies, we're not listening with our cognitive mind. We're listening with our whole soul body. We're listening with our intuition, our instincts. We're receiving their communications into our own soul body. And then if we're not in connection with ourselves and able to trust the information we get in our own system, then how are we going to receive that? And how are we going to use that information to help them or to let their parents know what they're sharing? So that's really important, trusting and nurturing your own intuition and your clients and patients. Make space for babies. Make a lot of space for them. And wait and listen with your intuitional and felt senses. One of the really important things for us to do if we're working with babies, we're at whatever stage, is to know about our own early imprints, because those really affect our perception of what's going on. And we can be, sometimes our own experiences of coming in can get muddled up with those of people that we're working with. So it's really good to know what our own imprinting is. And also to know what's motivating us to be in the birth field or the pre and perinatal birth field. Because often, again, often that's our own imprinting that's motivating us. And it really helps to know about that so that it doesn't get muddled up in what we're doing. And I feel another important thing, I've kind of mentioned it, but just to say it more clearly, that we need to connect or reconnect if we've gotten disconnected with our soul body, because that's really where we receive, where we transmit, where we feel ourselves, where we feel what's going on with others and around us. And if we don't have that, it's hard to pick up on what's going on this level. And then hold the continuum awareness with curiosity all the way through. So we're not just looking at a one-dimensional newborn, for example, we're looking at the whole thing. And we're curious. Taking a breath here. So thinking about this continuum of life at birth, what we're actually acknowledging in doing that is that by the time we arrive at our birth, we've had many experiences. And these experiences influence how we feel about the next transition of birth. They also affect our perception of what's happening to us in the present. And they affect our experience of the present. And this isn't just happening at birth, it's really happening all the way through. So if you say you came in at conception and you had some kind of a challenging time there, that if it just sat in your system and remained unresolved or you weren't connected with there in any way, that experience will affect how you experience the next place in the continuum and the next place and so on. So I hope that makes sense. So that's not just happening at birth, it's happening all the way through. And then, but birth is a big transition, and it's a transition where we're actually coming out of something into, you know, independent of our mother's body. And so many things can come up for us there. And I'm going to talk about that a bit later, about that, how that can affect birth. Our birthing experience. So babies are having their own experience. And this explains why, you know, there was a study done, I'm terrible at naming studies and research and things like that, but there was a study done where they asked mums and children about their birth. And they were surprised to find that there were very different stories from the mums than from the children about their births. And I think that the consciousness and sentience of children and the fact that they're having their own experience of everything explains why a child can share their birth story and it be so different from their mum's. I've met many parents who are very surprised when they hear about what their child's experience was, when they might be saying, the mums themselves might be saying, oh, I had a really good birth, everything went well, nothing really happened. And their baby is inconsolably crying 24 hours a day and trying to tell us about what's gone on for them. So we have to include both. Very important. So some pre-birth prenatal experiences that affect birth. Babies' unresolved imprinting can affect how they experience their birth. So again, that's all the things that may have happened before they got to that place that are, you know, sitting in their system. And babies who are being parented during that period have an opportunity to have some of those places resolved. And also if their parents were in connection with them, when something difficult happened, it can really mitigate the effects of that event a lot. So that's the value of early attachment. There can be stress or loss or trauma, and they may feel unwanted or actually be unwanted, unwelcome, and they may be fearful for some reason because of something that's happened. The loss part is really related to loss of companions. I'm not going to talk about that a lot today, but it's actually a lot more common than most people know that many of us come in with companions. And often those companions will come to a certain point with us. Sometimes they have an intention to come all the way into life with us in our family, and that would be a twin or triplet. Sometimes I came in with two who left right before conception. And there are many combinations and dynamics around that, around companions. They can quite often be people who are helpers or in some way, people that we might have a deep connection with. And so there can be loss happening around those connections that we have. Twin loss is actually a lot more common than we may have known before. And I've seen quite a lot of newborns who are in deep grief and very upset about losing a twin. It's particularly hard for them when they were expecting to come all the way in together, and then something may have happened, like perhaps there weren't enough resources in the mom for them both to come and one had to leave, for example. That can be very distressing for both of them. Yeah. Conflict in the family can actually affect whether we want to come out or not. If you think about that, if you're coming into a family where there is a lot of stress and conflict, you could feel very ambivalent about coming out during your birth. You'd have some very mixed feelings about that, which could really affect your birth dynamics. If you think about that, it makes sense. Impending adoption is a very interesting one, because if you know, most babies know that they're going to be adopted, and that can actually be quite challenging because they know that when they come out, they will be separated from their biological mother who they've been living inside of for 9 to 10 months. And that can be quite difficult. I think those ones that are going to be adopted could really use some help there, for sure, in that transition in particular. Another one that can affect birthing is abortion ideation. Abortion ideation is simply the parents having a period of time during the pregnancy where they considered aborting the baby. And this can feel to a prenate as though their life is under threat for that period of time. And because parents often aren't in communication with their babies in the womb, they don't get told at some point, it's okay now, you're safe, we're not going to do that. So they can go into some kind of a survival state sometimes in abortion ideation. And that's a fearful state and a contracted state, which often doesn't make us want to be seen or move forward or come out, because it's hard to be in that place and want to come out through birth and meet people there. So that can affect birth quite a bit. I already mentioned lost twins. I think there can sometimes be dynamics when you've had a lost twin where the birth part is about moving forward in a particularly different way. It's a transition, and you're moving forward without them at another level. You're going out into life through birth without that one, and that could bring up a lot of feelings at that place. And then this one is important. I'm going to go into this one a little bit more in a second. Mum's early imprinting. A mum's early imprinting from preconception through newborn can affect the whole process of coming into parenthood from preconception all the way through birth to newborn, when she's bringing in a baby, her own imprinting. It's actually quite normal for us to experience our own imprinting coming up at every stage of parenthood as we bring a baby in. So if we're in the preconception part and we've just decided to have a baby, we could, our preconception imprinting can come up there. When we go into conception, then our conception imprinting can come up there, and so on throughout the whole thing, and the same with birth. So I'll give you a little example of that. I was talking to some doulas and a group of doulas, and one of them asked me, she said she had a mom she was going to see the next day, and the mom had gone into premature labor, and she wondered if I could suggest anything. So I asked her, had she ever asked the mom, she'd already had her first child premature as well, and now she was going into premature labor with her second. So I said, well, have you ever asked the mum about her own birth? And she said, no, I'll ask her about it tomorrow. So I had a great email from her later saying that she had asked the mum what her own birth was like. That's all she asked her. And this mum was quite conscious, and she started thinking about her own birth. And she said, oh, I was premature. And then some kind of light went on in her about, oh, I was premature. My first baby was premature, and I'm having another one premature. She got the link between them. And she began to cry and have some feelings about her own birth and how hard it was, because that is a hard way to come in, premature. And she got support. And then after that session with her doula, her premature labor stopped, and she went to full term. And that's a very simple example of sometimes just how simple it can be to acknowledge that what's happening in the present could be absolutely nothing to do with the present. In fact, it's actually to do with what happened to you way back then that's repeating itself, because it hasn't been heard yet. It hasn't been integrated yet or healed if healing's necessary. So that's a really important place for us to think about all the way through pregnancy. And that's one of the main reasons as well why I advocate for preparation, so that we can take a look at these things before we get pregnant. And we can take a look at our own imprinting and say, is there anywhere in my own imprinting that could trip me up around the kind of parenting that I want to do once I get pregnant? And that's a good question to ask, because it helps us to focus in on some of those places that might cause some disruption in what we want, in our own intentions for parenting. Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing about these early memories, these early imprints, is that when they come up in us, or if we're triggered into one, we can feel like it's really happening now. In fact, physiologically, we're often actually in the physiology of the original imprint when we get triggered into it. So it really does feel like that. And a lot of the time we might not be aware that, even aware that it's a memory that's resurfacing. So if you're not sure about that, that's a good place to get some support with somebody that might be able to help you with that. And I think a lot of that is because the nature of early imprinting is very somatic and emotional and energetic. It's not like, it doesn't come out of our cognitive mind. It's not like our cognitive mind says, oh, something or other, and then we say, oh, that's not about now, that's about back then. It doesn't really work like that. It's more of an experience in our whole soul body that we have. And it's a shift from present time, a physiology in a sense, or somatics, into an earlier one. So it can really shift how we're feeling in a big way. But at the same time, if we can get a handle on that, it's actually really liberating to know when something's not about now, because that gives us a lot more choice in the present. And so I want to talk a little bit now, again, we're still in pre-birth experiences that affect birthing. And here I'm going to talk a little bit about birth attendants imprinting. And for those of you that might be working with the prenatal, same thing applies, prenatal or birth practitioners, own imprinting can really impact birth. I remember once one of my first teachers, Willie Manson, telling me a story about an obstetrician that he worked with and supported. And he said that this guy had the highest forceps rate in the hospital that he worked in. And he came to work with William. And of course, they discovered that he had really big forceps imprinting from his own birth. And it was such a revelation to him to realize that he had been essentially perpetrating his own birth imprinting on all these babies in the hospital. They probably, most of them didn't even need forceps, but there was just something driving him in that kind of unconscious way to, it's as though those young parts of us will find a way to tell us about it. And they'll keep telling us about it. And we have to find ways to listen to those places. Otherwise, they can be really taking over things in a way that can be a little, you know, quite challenging at times for us. And also in ways that aren't really what we want our life to be now, but they feel familiar, but they're not really working anymore, that kind of feeling, you know, something driving us. Because our little ones, just like newborns, they have a kind of drive, a natural drive towards balance and equilibrium. They want to be helped. They want to feel better. They want to feel in balance. They need support, you know, so they're telling us. And then when we get older and we become children, that gets called behavior. And then parents respond to behavior, but they find it difficult often to actually just drop in and listen underneath the behavior, to really listen to what is actually being communicated. It's not the behavior that needs the attention so much, it's the communication underneath it. Same with babies, same with children. So when we're triggered, it can feel like it's about now. So just a simple example of that. If something difficult happened to you in the first trimester, actually almost to the day or the week, you could have an incident happen during your pregnancy in the first trimester that may not be exactly the same as the one that you had, but the felt sense of it and the tone of it and the quality of it will parallel what happened to you. And that's another way of looking at that is to say, the little one inside of you, when you get to that place in your pregnancy, will speak louder. She will wake up and say, I remember this place. We're here again. This is what happened there. Right? And that's how it works all the way through. It's easy to see that. So in relation to birth attendance, I think it's important for us to understand that our own early imprinting can be very much influencing how we're working, how we're feeling at work, and how we're relating to people, and our ideas about how it should be, and so on, can all be very much influenced by that. And also there may be even places where we regularly get triggered that just seem familiar to us. And when we go into that place, we act in a certain way out of our young self. And that can be quite challenging. So I really encourage anyone working in the prenatal and birth field to do their own work and to know their own imprinting. Yes, early imprinting both attracts us, our own early imprinting both attracts us to the field and affects how well we can operate within it. I'm going to tell you a little story about a trainee midwife who came to me in an extremely distressed state. She had just been She worked in a birthing centre and she had just been attending a birth there. She had some more, you know, experienced midwives around to support her, but she was had a period of time where she was in the room on her own with a mum who was birthing and who was having suddenly went into having a very difficult time. And the midwife responded in a way that was quite upsetting for her and those around her. And fortunately, another midwife came in and dealt with the situation. And then she ended up coming to see me because she was so distressed about what had happened to her as a midwife, as a trainee midwife in that situation. And what unfolded was that she had herself had been born by cesarean section. And she got to the point in the birth of this woman that was giving birth. When the woman giving birth got to the point that the midwife had had her C-section, the midwife went into her C-section imprinting. And what she went into there was, somebody else is going to come in and sort this out now. This is where somebody else comes in and takes over. So she was completely inactive with a very challenged client in a very difficult situation with herself who needed immediate attention. But she was inactive because she was in her imprinting, which said, oh, somebody else is going to come in and do this now. It's not me. I don't do this here. And then another midwife came in, of course, and took over and completed everything. But this was incredibly distressing for her to the point that she was literally considering not being a midwife. It had been very frightening for her too. And really what happened there was she went into her own imprinting. And that's very common for cesarean sections to feel like, okay, this is the place where now I don't complete things. Somebody else has to come in and do it because that's part of the birth imprinting. That makes sense. There's an article on my website I just wanted to mention, which I wrote for birthing professionals in case anybody would like to look at that. Look at these two guys. I love these twins. Yes. Okay. Gosh, this is a lot of information, isn't it? Yes. So I wanted to talk a little bit about prenatal bonding, how that positively influences birth outcomes. Prenatal bonding is just essentially a two-way connection between a mum and baby that happens during the prenatal period. And one of the things that I think is really important about it is that mums actually get to know what their baby's needs are and how their babies are doing. They get to become strong in their mothering authority. They get to be the expert on their baby, in other words. And that's really important, especially when we go into birthing, because it can be very easy, particularly in hospital birthing, to be given a lot of suggestions and offers of interventions and all kinds of things, and we can actually lose our own authority and confidence. So I feel that prenatal bonding really gives mum a really strong sense of their own authority over their baby, and that's super important. And it also, prenatal bonding provides opportunities for preventing and mitigating prenatal trauma and challenge. And the same's happening in birth. If we're in the middle of birthing and we sense our baby's needing something or they're having feelings about something, we can actually be there and work with that because we have the relationship already. It's established. And it really is an amazing thing to have. I just put a note here that you could check out Prenatal Bonding BA for some statistics and other benefits of prenatal bonding. They've been doing some studies, and that's Gerhard Schroth's work. That's Prenatal Bonding brackets BA close brackets for people that can't see the screen. A little bit more about birth that's preceded by prenatal bonding. So mum knows what her baby needs because they're connected. She's listening and she knows how her baby's doing. She feels confident and competent, and the baby is not isolated and has support. If you're not working with people when they're pregnant, you're just coming in at the birth stage, and there has been no prenatal bonding, you can still support mums to, in the birth, to be more internal and primal. And you can support mums to keep connecting with their baby during the birth. It's kind of like, I find a lot with mums, especially pregnant mums, they often don't feel confident about their intuition when it comes to communicating with their baby. And so most of the work for us there is to really support that their intuition is working and to trust it. And it doesn't take very long. One of the things mums often say to me is, when I say, what's your baby sharing with you right now? They'll say, well, how do I know that it's my baby saying that and I'm not making it up? And I just say, well, just fake it till you make it. Just pretend that is what your baby's saying and we'll see how it goes. And then we just keep going. And then it becomes very clear that it is the baby that's sharing with them, because babies are so ready to share with us. And then pretty soon she's trusting her intuition and she's connected with her baby. So we can really just bring that in birth as well, trusting the mom, trusting her instincts, and gently and regularly validating them as you go through. Including babies during birth. So hold awareness of the continuum that we talked about earlier. Be constantly curious as you do that, and slow down, always slow down, always slowing down, slowing down. And empathize with the baby's experience. For example, if the baby's stuck, you can tune in and ask the mom, what does baby need, or what do you need? And just make room for that and listen. Trust the mom to be in charge of herself and baby, and support her empowerment into motherhood. And encourage pregnant mums to practice prenatal bonding, which is a really, really amazing resource and has lots of benefits. I know one of them is actually that there's the BA bonding study. There was no postpartum depression at all. Just that in itself is kind of amazing. And there's so many other elements to it as well. So do check that out if you're interested. Some ways to nurture coherence and connection in birth. Just really supporting mums to feel empowered and connected and respected and trusted, and to birth from their own internal impulses and instincts. Feel deeply respected, supported in their timing, both of them. And that they both be in the centre in sovereignty over themselves throughout the process, and that they feel supported from the inside out. What does that mean? It just means that, you know, when we look at birthing nowadays, particularly medical birthing, there's a lot of outside-in activity going on. People coming in and out, people making suggestions, people offering interventions. And it really, what feeling supported from the inside out is a very different place, where we're actually waiting for those impulses and timing and so on to come from the mum baby dyad, and not to be continually having things coming in from the outside. Obviously some things have to come in if you think something really needs to happen to keep people safe, that's good. But it's more of a providing an outside container for birthing where the mum can just really go in deep inside, feel connected with herself and her baby, and move from the inside out through the birthing experience. Because we are totally capable of doing that. And yes, birth can be healing too. Yes, some of the ways that it can be healing is that giving birth can support the healing of our own birth. If we have a difficult birth, if we have a good birth with our child, or giving birth to one of our children, it can really heal some of the things that happened in our own birth. And also if we've had a previous child and that was difficult, and then we have a really good birth with the second one, that can be very healing too for moms. A loving, respectful and supported birth can positively affect challenging prenatal experiences for babies. So there is an opportunity in the way that we support birthing dyads to actually have some healing for earlier things that may have happened for the baby. That is a potential. And this is, we need to remember that birth is a relational experience. And if we are connected to ourselves and connected to our baby throughout, then there is an opportunity for a very, very deep connection in all of that and very deep attachment to be happening, which is beautiful. I'm just going to check the time. What do you think, John, about, should I stop here or shall I go on a little bit more?
You're welcome to go on a bit more, Karen, that's fine. And we can have...
Are there many questions coming in?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a couple. There's a nice comment from Simone who's saying, thank you, Karen, for all your contributions. I follow your work, read your blog and text a lot. And they help me prepare the doulas. Your vision inspired me. That's nice.
That's nice. Yeah.
I suppose, good. Could I ask you a question about how you perhaps explain this to parents particularly, because I guess some of these concepts are, although they're familiar to us, they might be alien to parents, particularly around, for example, you know, when you talk about prenatal experience or even preconceptional experience, most people would say that, well, how can someone experience anything if they don't have a brain? You know what I mean?
Yes, that's the biological model.
Well, exactly. And most, right. A lot of people hold that, don't they? So
they do,
I'm just
yes.
Wondering how you language this, perhaps people.
Well, you know, you mean if I'm with clients and...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or someone, you know, skeptical.
I don't really talk a lot about it. I generally, let's say a pregnant woman comes in and she has some, she wants some support for something that's going on with her. The first thing I do when a pregnant woman comes in my office, apart from saying hello and so on, is say, so let's just take a moment to connect with baby. Any way that, in whatever way you do that, close your eyes if you want to, and just connect with baby and let him or her know that you're going to do some of your own work now and that baby doesn't have to do anything about it and it's not about her or him. So what's happening in that is that immediately I'm giving somebody an experience of including their baby, treating their baby as a conscious, sentient being that is having its own experience. And I'm also teaching them differentiation parenting without explaining anything. So that's an example of how I'm not really explaining, I'm actually doing. It's experiential, really. And moms will do that and they're totally, they just do it, you know. And then if we have some time to, you know, in the session to connect with, like she'll be asking something, and I say, well, let's ask baby about that, you know. And so we'll just weave in and out with that. And then so I'll say, just connect and listen and see what comes, you know. This, and I usually say this is an intuition question, not for your brain, but for your intuition. So I guide them in that, depending on how much intuition they have. Some moms don't have any yet and you have to work with that and build it up. But, and then, as I said earlier, they'll often say, how do I know it's not me making it up? That's quite common. And I'll just say, well, let's just keep going and see if it makes sense, you know, and then eventually, not doesn't take very long. Usually they really get, yes, it is my baby. It is my baby talking to me. And that, and then they're off with it then. But I haven't really explained anything.
No, maybe you don't need to. I mean, most people do have this feeling, we all do, I think, of coming from somewhere, which implies that you had an experience before you came into this world.
Yes.
And I mean, we had Jaap van der Waal on recently, and he was talking about that, how babies or children will often ask, well, where did I come from? And when maybe they're around a dying person, they might say, well, where did Granny go? You know, so there's
yes.
a sense of like coming and going.
So
I think we all hold that intuition in us, don't we? And it can get clouded, I guess.
Yes, it's hard to find words for those places sometimes, isn't it?
Mm.
And to say, oh, yes, I remember that. Children often talk about it. But, you know, when people come in, say a family comes in with a baby or a child, I don't really explain things in that situation a whole lot. Certainly, I don't really explain anything much when the baby or child is in the room, but usually I'll talk to the adults separately. But if a baby or child is in the room, then the focus is on them. And then it means that they're going to share the way they share, which isn't with words usually. With children, it's play, child-centered play that allows us to hear everything. And then with babies, it's totally nonverbal apart from cries. And so I just listen and help them to listen and bridge what I get from the baby to the parents. And then in a way that brings more connection in the family and understanding of, oh, my baby was actually having their own experience and they went through that. They lost a twin or they're in deep grief right now and I didn't even realize. And it just really is heartrending, you know, and people get so much more connected with their little ones when that happens. And it really helps everyone to understand what's going on if the baby's not doing well.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got about, 10 minutes or so. Do you want to, have you got more slides to show or before we stop?
No, I have one slide which has just got resources, which I'll just put up so people can be looking at those if they want to. I was going to talk a little bit about a client called Ruby, just to give people an example of what it can look like when you do the work. Ruby came into me because she had decided that she wanted to have a baby. And as soon as she decided that she wanted to have a baby, she went into a really big activation in which she felt like her whole nervous system was on fire. And she had been living like that for 4 years before she found me. And things had been very difficult, and she still wasn't pregnant because she was completely dysfunctional almost. And so she worked with me for about 9 months on her preconception trauma, which was very extreme in the sense that she was coming into a very violent family. Her father was very violent. And when she came towards the family, she really felt that in the field, and it really traumatized her. And she still came she still came in because she had a purpose with this family. And excuse me. So we worked together for 9 months on that particular experience of hers, and then she got pregnant, and she continued working with me on her own imprinting during the pregnancy, and also she worked on connecting with her baby. And then she gave birth in a birth center, and I was lucky enough to be there for that. I was invited to be present, and it really was a really amazing experience at that time for me to see a mum giving birth who could tell in the middle of it when her own imprinting was coming up, and she could talk to her own little one. Like, for example, there was one point where she wasn't opening, and the midwife was saying, well, I think we might have to do something. And Ruby just said, oh, just hold on a second. And she just connected with her little one, which is not her baby, but her own little one, her little one within, her little baby self. And she said to her little self, you know, this is what happened back then, and you're okay now, it's not happening now, so you can relax. And then she just and just as soon as she did that, because she already had a relationship with her little one within before she gave birth, she just opened in the birthing. And it was just that simple. And there was another point in the birthing where the midwife said, I think we might have to break your membrane, you know, break the water. And Ruby said, oh, just hang on a second. And she connected with her daughter and said to her daughter, we didn't know this until this point in the birth, but she actually had strep B. So she didn't want baby to get that coming out. So she had said to baby when she went into labor, don't let the bag break. Don't let the amniotic sac break. So when the midwife said, I think we need to break the sac, Ruby just went inside and said to her daughter, it's okay, you can let it go now. And literally within a minute, it just broke. It just let go. I think those are just amazing examples of how incredibly empowering and healing birthing can be when we, you know, take that time to prepare and do our healing and look at our own woundings and our own imprinting. And it could be like that, you know, that's how it could be. And that was really beautiful.
A wonderful story. Thank you.
That's really fantastic. It's very healing to see a birth like that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Very good. Okie dokie. Yeah. Sorry, there's some lovely books there where you can see.
If people that like research, they can go to birthpsychology.com, which is the APA website. That's the Association for Pre and Perinatal Psychology and Health. And then you can go to my website. There's some articles on there, my services, and there's also, I do some classes at times. And then these are more books underneath. There's lots of books. These are just some of the ones that I decided to put up for you in case you're interested in reading more about some of these things. Yeah.
Brilliant, thank you. And that's your website, KarenMelton.com.
Fantastic. Yes.
Brilliant. Thank you. So yes, you're going to come to the UK soon and setting up practice here, hopefully.
I am, in the West.
That'll be good.
Definitely. Yes.
Do you mind just stopping sharing your screen then, Karen?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Let's do that. And stop share. Great.
Fantastic. Great. So if any last questions before we stop at all. I love that stuff. I was reading that stuff on prenatal bonding, that research study that you were talking about. It's quite amazing. And I read about that as well. It's just astounding, isn't it? And it's a pity it's not more, that phrase, prenatal bonding, it's a pity that it's not more out there.
I think so. Surprisingly, there are quite a few books about it. I don't know if it's how popular things are there. I'll be finding out when I get back to England just how interested people are in all of this. But
I mean, I guess it's probably more well known in where you are in California, because you have people like Ray Castellino out there, don't you?
Yes, we do. Although it's kind of, the whole thing is really blowing up in Europe right now. More, not so much in England, although somewhat in England, but there's a lot of trainings going on in Europe.
Yeah, yeah, particularly in Germany, that's true.
It's a lot. Yep. So that's good. They need it, and we all need it.
We all need it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all need it. Great. Well, thank you so much, Karen. That's great. And next week, next Thursday, we have Tara Blasco going to be joining us. Tara's worked a lot with Ray Castellino for many, many years. So that'll be very interesting. She's talking about supporting babies from her really, really rich experience of that. That's next Thursday. There is a question. Alicia's putting in there. Sorry.
Where in the UK?
We'll have a look. Sorry. Let's see. Oh, Alison, sorry. Yes. Alison Forrest is asking you where you're going to be in the UK. So that sounds like it's going to be around Bristol, right? West.
Yes, Bristol. Definitely. To start with, I'll be there.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Great. All right. Well, thanks, Karen.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.